You're listening to Saxon's Creed Radio Show. I'm David James, and I'm your host. Ladies and gentlemen, did you know that there's a new way to call Eurofolk Radio? That you can actually listen to Eurofolk Radio. I'm going to get it up for you right here. And it doesn't cost you anything. You can call it, it even works overseas. And I think there's five ways you can call in, but I don't see them all here on the site. But one of them is this. I'll give you the number. And this is in the United States, but you can call from overseas this number as well. 605-475-1770. No extra cost for the call. Calls use mobile numbers. So I've tried it. It's pretty good quality. So if you were in your car or you were sitting in the doctor's office waiting and waiting and waiting, you may wish to listen to a little encouragement on Eurofolk Radio. Just another way to get the truth, ladies and gentlemen. Well, I want to tell you that we've certainly come a long way on this radio show. I've listened back to several of the radio shows in the past, and I suggest that you go and listen to my whole playlist of Saxon's Creed radio show. I don't wish to toot my own horn, but I must say that it is just packed, and I mean packed, with information. Useful information. And so, let's continue. Greetings to all the tribes of Israel who are the Anglo-Saxon, Celtic, Scandinavian, and Nordic peoples, our brothers and sisters around the world. The title of this message is Wisdom's Child. You know, ladies and gentlemen, I hope you were listening to William Pierce, and I hope you understand that what he was saying was right on the money. If you think that you will be able to adapt, and why should you, but if you think you'll be able to adapt to these mongrels, you've got another thing coming. They have a hate for you that is deeper than you would ever imagine. Oh, no, that's not true. I know a black person, and they're very good. They don't hate me at all. Yeah. Well, wait till you get knocked out in the knockout game. Now, let me ask you something. I'd like to ask each and every one of you something. No, I don't want your money. I'm not asking for your money. Although, I would appreciate a donation. But that's not what the purpose of this is. I'm asking you this question. Have you got the guts yet to cancel your cable bill? Have you got the guts? Can you live without Talmud vision? That's a serious question. Can you live without Talmud vision? Well, I can answer it. I cut the cable many years ago now. I don't miss it at all. And I mean at all. I don't miss paying the money. I don't miss the commercials. I don't miss Talmud vision. I don't miss the brainwash. I don't miss getting angry over seeing things I don't like going on in our country. And no, I don't miss football or, I never liked basketball in the first place. But no, I don't miss any of that. You better get the guts. Talk to your family. Tell them why you're going to do it. Watch what happens when you do do it. Watch how you open up like a flower and begin to live and breathe again. As the spell that the Jews have put on you slowly wears off. I can't tell you any more how I would encourage you to do this. I told you that you can still use your TV, hook your computer up to your TV. You have a nice big monitor. And you can get entertainment on there. You can turn your television into an education station. And this is what I've been saying for quite some time. If I'm repeating myself to you, well, it's not really for you unless you haven't cut the cable yet. Isn't it interesting that the cable has a lot to do with the people of the snake? When will you cut the head off of that thing? I suggest you do it as soon as possible. Now, I wish to discuss something before we go into Wisdom's Child. I want to discuss something that I've been thinking about, and that is ideology versus the facts. When you define the word, when you define the word, I sound like a teenager with my voice changing. A system of ideas and ideals, especially one that forms the basis of economic or political theory and policy. Now, I want you to think about that, because communism is an ideology. You see? It's not facts. It's an ideology. And I think that many of us today are believing in ideologies rather than the facts. And I'll tell you what I mean by that. Even democracy would be an ideology. Let's look at the word again. Let's hear the definition. A system of ideas and ideals, especially one that forms the basis of economic or political theory, theory and policy. So we have no problem with political theory, do we? But we have big problems with conspiracy theory. You know, I pointed it out on a show last night with, I was on Eli's show and we were doing Revelation Part 13. And you'll find this is true. Almost every conspiracy theory that has been put out there has come true. And I mentioned even Alex Jones. Everybody said he worked for the Jews. That's why he said the Arabs run Hollywood. Because he was deflecting from anything but the Jews. He would talk about anything but the Jews. They weren't guilty. It was the Arabs who run Hollywood. Yes. And it's the New World Order. Yeah. And the Illuminati. Well, it turns out that his show is run by Jews. And that his wife is a Jewish, which means his children are Jews. dare I say, hello? So, it's just odd how all these conspiracy theories just keep coming true and prove and have been proven true. Haven't you noticed? So, a political theory. You see, communism was created by the Jews, and they said Judaism is communism, proving that Judaism is not a religion. It's a political movement, like I told you. It's a political theory, a set of laws and policies created by the Jews, but always putting it in the guise of a religion because there are great advantages by posing as a religion. You can see that, right? Now, right here, they even have the ideology of republicanism. Ladies and gentlemen, you are being tricked with ideologies. Communism, if you think communism sounds like a good ideology, you think, well, we take away from the poor and we give to the rich. I mean, take from the rich and give to the poor and level everybody out so that nobody's rich and nobody's poor. Well, that's a nice idea, and it certainly sounds like a nice ideology. But when it translates, it doesn't to the facts. The facts are that the elite Jews stay the elite Jews, and everybody goes down to the poor class. That's the true fact, and that's the translation of the ideology. In other words, when it translates to the facts, it just doesn't work. Yes, it was an idea the Jews had, and it was to serve them and their god Lucifer, even though there is no god in communism because it's not a religion. So you're being tricked by ideologies. And you're being trained to look at the facts as negativity. Because you've put too much importance upon your feelings. Ideals and ideas, they feel good. And they propose certain things that one may think are good and feel good. But when it translates to the facts, and the facts are told to you, it can make you very angry. So you must learn that there is a difference between ideology, ideas and ideals, and theories and policies, and then there's the difference of the facts. You know, how does it translate? You know what I mean? I took a few courses recently, and they were very idealistic, and this is what tuned me into this. They told you how it was going to be. But when you actually get into the position of what you trained for, the facts overwhelmed the ideology. They didn't translate equally. Are you understanding what I'm telling you? You may be an atheist because you don't believe in God, Yahweh. And you may have have ideas and principles that he does not exist. And yet the facts, when the facts translate, oh, he does exist. And so your little belief that he does not change the fact that he exists. Though you think it does. Believing that the Father does not exist is believing in fairy tales and fables. Remember last week? You're just fooling yourself. You're not fooling anybody but yourself. And what it means is many fools follow ideologies. They follow many theories. They follow many policies. But they don't even know the facts. They just believe that there is no God. They don't really have any concrete facts that say he's not there. They just don't believe it. Because somebody influenced them with a theory or an idea or an ideal. They didn't present them the facts that God does not exist, because you can't do that. And you say, well, you can't present facts that God... Oh, yes, we can, and have many, many times. The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. Guaranteed. You know what I would say to an atheist? I would say to them, did you know that every snowflake is different? That every fingerprint is different? What are the odds on something like that? How could that be? Even biometrics, your ears, everyone's ears are different. And even the two ears on your head are biometrically different. The iris in your eye, everyone's different. What are the chances of that? What are the chances that you cut your hand and it heals? How can that be? Have you ever thought of these things? Have you ever watched the little birdies? Have you watched clouds progress through the sky? Well, let's go into some understanding. You see, knowledge is very important. And I often tell people that the application of knowledge is wisdom. You can group up a whole bunch of knowledge, but if you don't know what to do with it, it's just a bunch of knowledge. There's also useless knowledge. Perhaps you, dear listener, perhaps you are going to watch the football game today, which is a useless ordeal, and you're going to memorize all kinds of facts about how many catches some player had made, or how many yards they've run, or how many touchdowns. This kind of information is useless. And wisdom would tell you that it was useless. And would show you that you don't have your house in order. Football is a religion, as most sports are now. It's a religion. It's done on Sunday, even. It's done just like a church. There's one in the middle of the week, too. You raise your hands when there's a score. In praise. Yes. It's a religion. And you have been tricked into it. Your priorities are screwed up. You've been led by ideas and ideals and ideologies, not by facts. At some point, do you think to yourself as a man, I am a leader. I am not a follower. I was born to lead. Do you ever think of these things? Or do you just follow? We'll find out about that very soon as we open up the book of Proverbs. One of my favorite parts of the Bible. The Proverbs of Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel. See, it doesn't say he was a Jew. You understand that? Solomon was not a Jew. David was not a Jew. He was the king of Israel. To know wisdom and instruction, to perceive the words of understanding, to receive the instruction of wisdom, justice, and judgment, and equity, to give subtlety to the simple, to the young man knowledge and discretion. Now pay attention to verse 5 here. A wise man will hear and will increase learning, and a man of understanding shall attain unto wise counsels. So what does verse 5 tell you immediately? Very simple. A wise man will hear and will increase in learning. A man of understanding shall attain unto wise counsels. So a man who is wise will put himself in the position to learn. And by hearing, he will increase his learning. Now many people today, rather than hearing, would like to argue with you. They don't wish to hear. They don't wish to learn anything. They believe they already know all the answers to everything. And they're above understanding and attaining unto wise counsels. Thus proving that they are fools. Verse 6. To understand a proverb and the interpretation, the words of the wise and their dark sayings. Now listen to this. The fear of Yahweh, or God, is the beginning of knowledge. The fear of Yahweh is the beginning of knowledge. But fools despise wisdom and instruction. Why is the fear of Yahweh the beginning of knowledge? Well, You know that he's created everything, including you. You know that he is immense in power and wisdom. You know that he is somebody that could reduce you to ashes in a moment. Yet there are men that do not fear Yahweh. Oh, they claim they don't fear him, and they may act as they don't fear him, but when the time comes, they will fear him. See, it's wise to fear even your earthly dad, because, for instance, when I was young, every once in a while I had to get the belt. Now you may say, oh, that's horrible. Oh, that's no, that's not horrible. I'll explain to you why the belt or why this chastisement is important to a child. You know, once you get the belt once, and it's really not that, you know, it's bad enough to make you understand, I don't want that again. So just the fear of bringing the belt out would make us as children stand in line. Do you understand? So yes, you may receive the belt a couple of times in your life. It wasn't something that was a constant beating. It's not like the Negroes who the thing I saw where he killed a child because he took a piece of cake. No, that's way out of whack. That's just foolish, and that's evil. I'm talking about the reason why the children today are so unruly is because they have no fear of their parents. They have no fear of the Father in heaven. They have no fear of the police in reality. They don't have fear of the government. These blacks are allowed to get away with all kinds of things. And the less chastisement there is, the more they'll bolden up against it. And the more out of hand it gets. So the Jews have put in things in place so you can't spank your child. If you were to spank your child and somebody saw it, or your child reported you, they'd try to take your child away from you. Because they don't want citizens who are staying in line. In that sense, they don't want, they're looking for rebels. They want the world to be full of rebels like they are. When I got the belt, I told you I didn't want to get the belt again. And the mayor, he would just take his hand and act like he was taking the belt off. And that was enough for me and enough for my brothers and so on. Do you understand? This is a healthy fear that you're talking about. This isn't an evil fear. So if you fear the Father in heaven, you will obey his laws. It's a healthy fear. And it is the beginning of knowledge, as it said. But fools despise wisdom and instruction. And it goes on in verse 8. My son, hear the instruction of thy father, and forsake not the law of thy mother. For they shall be an ornament of grace unto thy head, and chains about thy neck. See, there's a protection in that fear. If you fear your parents, you'll obey them. If you fear the Father, you'll obey him. And it shall save you. This fear causes you to think before you do things, which is a very good thing to do. It goes on in verse 10, "My son, if sinners entice thee, consent thou not. If they say, come with us, let us wait for blood, let us lurk privily for the innocent without cause. Let us swallow them up alive as the grave, and whole as those that go down to the pit." Now we see this in America today. We see the blacks in the cities, and they say to each other, come with us, let us wait for blood, let us lurk privily for the innocent without cause. And they're out playing the knockout game on innocent people that aren't doing anything to them, that haven't even had anything to do with them at all. They're preying on old men, raping old women, robbing old women, preying on the weak of our race. And this is fun to them. This is interesting. So I'll read it again to you. So what he says in 10, "My son, if sinners entice thee, consent thou not." In other words, don't go with them if they ask you, hey, come with us. Let us lay wait for blood. Let us lurk privily for the innocent without cause. Let us swallow them up alive as the grave and whole as those that go down to the pit. And it goes on in verse 13. "We shall find all precious substance. We'll rob them. We shall fill our houses with spoil." What is the advice from the Father here? "Cast in thy lot among us," they said. "Let us all have one purse." Now, the angels did this too when they came down to get the women. What is the Father's advice on this? "My son, walk not thou in the way with them. Refrain thy foot from their path, for their feet run to evil, and make haste to shed blood. Surely in vain the net is spread in the sight of any bird." You know, I love that because I love my birds. And it's very interesting what is being said right there. Surely in vain the net is spread in the sight of any bird. In other words, you'll never catch the bird when the bird sees you doing something like that. And he says, "And they lay wait for their own blood. They lurk privily for their own lives. So are the ways of everyone that is greedy of gain, which taketh away the life of the owners thereof." You see, judgment will come upon you. And why he says, don't cast your lot among them, don't go with them, don't walk in the way with them, refrain thy foot from their path, because they run to evil, because they haste to shed blood. And in doing so, they lay wait for their own blood. They look privily for their own lives. By doing what they're doing to others, it's going to come upon them. "So are the ways of everyone that is greedy of gain, which taketh away the life of the owners thereof." So here's what he says. "Wisdom crieth without, She uttereth her voice in the streets. She crieth in the chief place of concourse, in the openings of the gates. In the city she uttereth her words, saying, How long, ye simple ones, will ye love simplicity? And the scorners delight in their scorning, and fools hate knowledge. Turn you at my reproof. Behold, I will pour out my spirit unto you. I will make known my words unto you. See, what he's saying is what he's always saying. Turn you at my reproof. If you listen to my advice and you turn from these things and you turn from hating knowledge and turn from loving simplicity, he said he will pour out his spirit unto you, or the spirit of wisdom unto you. I will make known my words unto you. But here's the problem. Because I have called, and ye refused, I have stretched out my hand, and no man regarded, but ye have set at naught all my counsel, and would have none of my reproof, I will also laugh at your calamity. I will mock when your fear cometh. See? Do you ever wonder why, when you don't listen to your parents or you don't listen to the father and you do your own thing and finally you're caught in the net you spread for someone else and your fear begins to grow and you call that no one hears you? Because ye have set at naught all my counsel, and would have none of my reproof, you wouldn't listen to my wisdom, wouldn't listen to my advice, wouldn't listen to my counsel. Well, then ye shall have what ye want. You shall have it your way. I will also laugh at your calamity. I will mock when your fear cometh. When your fear cometh as desolation, and your destruction cometh as a whirlwind. When distress and anguish cometh upon you, then shall they call upon me, but I will not answer. They shall seek me early, but they shall not find me. For that they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of Yahweh, they would have none of my counsel and despised all my reproof. Therefore shall they eat of the fruit of their own way and be filled with their own devices. For the turning away of the simple shall slay them, and the prosperity of fools shall destroy them. But whoso hearken unto me shall dwell safely and shall be quiet from fear of evil. I hope you were paying attention to what I was just telling you right there, or to what the Father's telling you. You see, we've got fat, dumb, and happy in our countries, and we have shaken off and not listened to the Father and his counsel. He told us not to have other races in our country. He told us to be a separate people. But we listen to the Jews through the trickery, And because we did not have knowledge enough to know that we were being tricked, we are now in this condition. When your fear cometh as desolation, and your destruction cometh as a whirlwind, when distress and anguish cometh upon you, then they shall call upon me. Well, you see, he's not a genie. You don't just call him when you need him. You don't just thank him or, you know, summon him up and say, I need you to do something for me here. And then after it's done, you forget all about him and his counsel and his word and his wisdom. Because if you forget him and you set at naught all of his counsel and not listen to his reproof, he will laugh at our calamity. He will mock when our fear cometh. And then you may say, well, I'm calling upon you now. You said, if I called upon you, but he won't answer now. Would you? Would you answer if you were him? He says they shall seek me early. In other words, they'll even, you know, go the extra measures now to call on him, but they won't find him. Because you should have been, he should have been part of your life all along. His counsel should be part of your life all along. The pursuit of wisdom should be part of your life all along. His counsel is the best counsel you could ever have. He doesn't even charge you for his counsel. Lawyers charge you for their counsel. And their counsel is nothing compared to his counsel. And he gives you his counsel for free. Yet you set it at naught. Well, it's time. I told you that you must continue in your prayer lives with Yahweh. And so, you know, you ask a lot of things during your prayers. But I told you, sometimes don't ask anything, just thank him for the things that he's done. As you thank him, you'll realize just how much he has done for you. See, there's promises here. You get fat, dumb, and happy, and you forget all about him, and you're busy with your religion of football and all the other nonsense in this stupid world we live in. And you ignore him. Well, when your trouble comes, don't expect him to listen. He won't answer. It will take time before he will answer again. You see, he tells you, though, but whoso hearkeneth unto me shall dwell safely, and shall be quiet from fear of evil. So how can you be sure that he'll listen to you? How can you be sure that when desolation comes, that you shall have protection? Hearken unto the Father. Hearken, listen, hearkeneth. Listen to his counsel. Cherish his counsel. Know that you could not find any better counsel than this anywhere. Now he goes on in chapter 2. My son, if thou wilt receive my words and hide my commandments with thee, the commandments, hide them with you. Know them. Obey them. Cherish them. Realize that what I told you before, what is liberty and how is liberty achieved? If we all receive his words as a nation and obey his commandments, that brings forth liberty and justice and true freedom. Not the crap we got here in this country now. This is not liberty. This is not freedom. And it certainly is about as far from justice as you can possibly get. I'll explain it to you very quickly, and I hope this will suffice. If he says not to covet your neighbor's wife, we have a lot of that going on in our world today. And in relationships, people are having hard times trusting each other because of all that's going on, because of the training of Talmud vision. Trying to tell you it's normal to cheat on your wife. It's exciting to cheat on your wife. And there's nothing wrong with it because everybody does it. Yet the father told you not to do it. Now, if you have a nation of people that will receive Yahweh's words and hide his commandments within them and obey his commandments, then I should not have to worry about my wife cheating on me, and vice versa for her as well. And my neighbor wouldn't have to worry about that either. Thus, this brings freedom. This brings liberty. If my neighbor is not going to steal from me, and I won't steal from my neighbor, this brings freedom. This brings liberty. I don't have to worry about it. It frees my mind. I don't even have to be concerned because everyone in our country and community would be obeying the same laws. This is why we're not supposed to have strangers among us. Because those strangers will not obey his words because they're not of him. But if we were doing as Yahweh said, and it used to be this way in America a long time ago when America was white, I'm not saying it was perfect. I'm not saying there were no crimes. There's always some idiot that won't obey. But it was rare. When you compare it with today, it was glorious. You want freedom? You want liberty? Obey Yahweh's commandments. Only everybody's got to do it. That's how you'll bring salvation to a nation. Now, if that's not wisdom, I don't know what is. Let's go back to the Proverbs. I hope you understand what I just explained to you because Yahweh revealed it to me, and I've heard the words liberty and freedom, and I know basically what it is. But the bell rung clear to me. You know, when you hit the truth, it's like hitting the bell in just the right place. It rings true. Do you understand? So we would have to take these people out of our nations, and we would have to begin to receive the Father's words and hide his commandments within us, which are already in our hearts. The problem is they're not in the other people's hearts. You understand that? Because they're not the covenant people. It would be a wonderful place to live. If there were no Jews, no devils, and we lived amongst ourselves, it was wonderful. That's all I can tell you. It was wonderful. And that is exactly why the Jew sought to destroy it. Because the Jew hates good with everything inside of him. He hates good and seeks to destroy it. I've already explained to you why the devil and his children hate the Adamic race that like they do. I've already explained that to you. Go back through my former shows. There's a playlist on my YouTube channel. Go through all the shows. It will not be a waste of your time whatsoever, if I do say so myself. So he continues in verse 2. So, that thou incline thy ear unto wisdom and apply thine heart to understanding. See? Incline thy ear unto wisdom. Let's look up incline. You know what it means, but let's find out what it says. Feel willing or favorably disposed towards an action, belief, or attitude. He was inclined to accept the offer. Have a tendency to do so. Dear listener, will you be inclined? Will you be inclined thine ear unto wisdom? Would you look upon wisdom favorably? Do you think wisdom is important? Because wisdom crieth in the streets. And apply thine heart to understanding. Apply this wisdom to your heart, to understanding. Yea, if thou criest after knowledge and liftest up thy voice for understanding, listen to this, if thou seekest her as silver and searchest for her as for hid treasures, then shalt thou understand the fear of Yahweh and find the knowledge of God. Now, I left space there for you to think of what's being said there. I've told you many times that if you're going to a church and you're letting this man or lesbian or whatever, homosexual or whatever it is that's up in the preacher's pit tell you what the Bible means, and you do not seek the truth for yourself, you are being led right into the pit. You are not seeking the truth. You are not inclining your ear to wisdom. You are just Dr. Feelgood. And you're setting yourself up for disappointment. I told you several times what Yeshua said. Seek the truth, and the truth shall set you free. You see, what is he saying right here? If thou criest after knowledge, and liftest up thy voice for understanding... Now listen careful. If thou seekest her as silver and searchest for her as for hid treasures, Then shalt thou understand the fear of Yahweh and find the knowledge of God. You see, you must seek it. You see, it's free, but it takes work to find. See, like I say often, that when you seek for silver or you are going on searching for gold in the mountains out in California, let's say, okay, you'd have to get yourself out there. You'd have to buy a couple of animals. You'd have to have some tools for digging and some things for sifting. You'd have to have food supplies and water and everything, and you'd have to get yourself up to the position to where you began to dig, and then you would dig, and you could find gold, or you could find precious metals, or whatever. But it would take a lot of work. You would have to uncover it. So therefore, what I'm trying to tell you is that you have to seek for it. Thar's gold in them thar hills. He continues, verse 6. For Yahweh giveth wisdom. Out of his mouth cometh knowledge and understanding. He layeth up sound wisdom for the righteous. He is a buckler to them that walk uprightly. There it is again. Who are they that walk uprightly? Are they people who say a prayer and accept Jesus and then believe that the law has been now negated and they can just do anything they want and they're saved because they said that prayer? Listen again. He layeth up sound wisdom for the righteous. He is a buckler to them that walk uprightly. Obviously, they obey the law. They're not following people seeking blood and stolen treasures by killing somebody and stealing their goods. He walketh uprightly. He keepeth the paths of judgment, it says in verse 8, and preserveth the way of his saints. Then shalt thou understand righteousness and judgment and equity, yea, every good path. When wisdom entereth into thine heart, and knowledge is pleasant to thy soul, unto thy soul, discretion shall preserve thee, understanding shall keep thee. See, wisdom is a form of protection, thinking before you do something. Having the knowledge to know that what may happen if you do the wrong thing keeps you on every good path. Fearing the Father and knowing his commandments and keeping his commandments would keep you upon every good path, because you would know that if you disobeyed that you were going down the wrong path and that there were consequences that you would have to pay. Wisdom would tell you this. Wisdom would let you know, don't follow after them. Don't do that. It will just bring trouble to thy soul. It will bring trouble to thy house. It will bring trouble to thy good name. Discretion shall preserve thee again. Understanding shall keep thee. It's a protection. To deliver thee from the ways of the evil man, from the man that speaketh froward things. who leaves the path of uprightness to walk in the ways of darkness, who rejoices to do evil and delights in the frowardness of the wicked. Let's look up froward just so that you may have a better idea of what's being said there. Difficult to deal with, contrary to Yahweh's laws, you see. Perverse, turned or looking from, turning from. To be froward means to be habitually disposed to disobedience and opposition to someone or something like the law, like a law. Does that explain it to you? So, let's go back over that again. To deliver thee from the ways of the evil man, from the man that speaketh froward things, things that would take you away from the righteous path, who leave the paths of uprightness to walk in the ways of darkness, who rejoice to do evil and delight in the frowardness, disobedience of the wicked, whose ways are crooked and they froward in their paths, disobedient. They're not walking the straight path. Remember the donkey? He wouldn't walk in a straight path. And I'm trying to think of the guy's name, but he was a prophet. And he hit the donkey, and the donkey spoke to him. And Yahweh was trying to tell him that his ways are not straight because the donkey couldn't, it would go in crooked ways. And it was a message to him. Verse 16. To deliver thee from the strange woman, even from the stranger which flattereth with her words. Now you look at the strange woman and you're thinking, perhaps, that this just means a woman you don't know. Well, it could mean that. But it can also mean a woman of another race, which he does not want us to be involved in. To deliver thee from the strange woman, even from the stranger which flattereth with her words, which forsaketh the guide of her youth and forgetteth the covenant of her God. For her house inclineth unto death and her paths unto the dead. None that go unto her return again. Neither take they hold of the paths of life, that thou mayest walk in the ways of good men and keep the paths of the righteous. For the upright shall dwell in the land, and the perfect shall remain in it. But the wicked shall be cut off from the earth, and the transgressors shall be rooted out of it. Chapter 3. My son, forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments. See, that goes for today too. This may be the Old Testament, but the Father is the same yesterday, today, and forever. His counsel then is this, and his counsel now is this. My son, forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments. For length of days and long life and peace shall they add to thee. Now is this good counsel? Why, of course it is. If you keep his law and you do his commandments, it'll bring you length of days. You'll live longer. You'll have peace. Let not mercy and truth forsake thee. See, don't let truth go away from you. Don't let it forsake thee. Remember to have mercy, and remember to keep truth, and keep searching for truth. Bind them about thy neck. Write them upon the table of thine heart. So shalt thou find favor and good understanding in the sight of Yahweh and man. You know, the less the world realizes they can trust people as it is today, if you were to find a gem of a man or woman who had these attributes, they would shine out like a bright light in this filthy dark world. So if you were to do these things, you would not only have favor in the sight of Yahweh himself, but you would have favor with some men. Not all men, because there are those that hate the good vehemently. However, the word man here is the same thing. It's the Adamic race. What I mean by that is all the other races were 3/5 of a man. Oh, they are sub-races. We're not really worried about favor with them. But amongst our own people, it could help a lot if we had favor with Yahweh and favor with our fellow Israelites. You will never have favor with Jews. Trust in Yahweh with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. I could take this advice myself and have many times, but you know, it rings true to me right now even as I speak it. Why do I speak this into your ears? Because I propose today we will raise the dead. I propose today that the ears shall hear. I propose today, because the ears shall hear, that the eyes shall begin to see. And eventually the dumb shall speak. And ultimately, the dead shall be raised. Because faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of Yahweh. You are hearing this. Maybe some of you are hearing it for the first time. May it be sweet to your ears. May it be salve to your eyes. May it be fruit to thy mouth. And may you be risen from the dead this very day. In all thy ways acknowledge him, Yahweh, and he shall direct thy paths. Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear Yahweh, and depart from evil. It shall be health to thy navel, and marrow to thy bones. Honor Yahweh with thy substance, and with the first fruits of all thine increase. so shalt thy barns be filled with plenty, and thy presses shall burst out with new wine. My son, despise not the chastening of Yahweh, neither be weary of his correction. You know something? If you are being corrected by the Father, you may not love every second of it, but you got to think of one thing. You won't have to worry about hearing him say, "Depart from me, I never knew you." If he's chastening you, that means he loves you, as a father loves his child. And he's correcting you because he wants you to go in the right paths, because he loves you. He does not wish to see you destroyed. For whom Yahweh loveth, he correcteth, even as a father the son in whom he delighteth. Happy is the man that findeth wisdom, and the man that getteth understanding. Now listen, this is very important. For the merchandise of it is better than the merchandise of silver, and the gain thereof of fine gold. See, with wisdom you could get gold. You could get silver. Therefore, wisdom itself is better than the merchandise of silver, better than the gain of fine gold. She is more precious than rubies, and all the things thou canst desire are not to be compared unto her. Again, length of days is in her right hand, and in her left hand riches and honor. Her ways are ways of pleasantness, and all her paths are peace. She is a tree of life to them that lay hold upon her, and happy is everyone that retaineth her. Yahweh by wisdom hath founded the earth. By understanding hath he established the heavens. Do you see that? By wisdom he founded the earth. By understanding hath he established the heavens. By his knowledge the depths are broken up, and the clouds drop down the dew. Is that not a wonderful picture? My son, let not them depart from thine eyes. Keep sound wisdom and discretion. Let's find out. I know what discretion is, but let's clarify. Discretion is the quality of behaving or speaking in such a way as to avoid causing offense or revealing private information. Boy, I could use some of that. I mean, you know, I'm easy. I can offend people very easily. You know, I used to have this saying that there's a whole world out there just waiting for me to offend them because it's too easy. I can do it without even trying. And these people's feelings in today's volatile world are just, you know, they're just ready to be offended by any, it could be one word, it could be a combination of words. Very humorous. The freedom to decide what should be done in a particular situation. See, wisdom would make you think before you acted. A fool would act on his emotion. We see that all the time, do we not? If you want to learn from people's mistakes, just look at the blacks in today's world. They don't think before they do something. They just triggered right off by a keyword or by a look or by just the sheer need to destroy. They don't think before they do it. They don't even understand that there could be a consequence. Wisdom is the freedom to decide what should be done in a particular situation. It is up to local authorities to use their discretion in setting the chain charges. You know, it's somebody who thinks. So shall they be life unto thy soul and grace unto thy neck. Then shalt thou walk in thy way safely, and thy foot shall not stumble. Let me take a sip of coffee. I can hear my voice. So there's a protection in thinking before you're doing things, you see? When thou liest down, thou shalt not be afraid. Yea, thou shalt lie down, and thy sleep shall be sweet. Be not afraid of sudden fear, neither of the desolation of the wicked when it cometh. Now that's very good counsel. Be not afraid of sudden fear. Remember I told you in shows past that if you show fear to an animal, and this could be a two-legged animal as well, if you know what I mean, beast of the field. If you're not afraid of sudden fear, a lot of times this can prevent you, this is wisdom, it can prevent you from getting killed. Because, why do I say that? Because you are not giving forth what is expected. Therefore, you've turned the tables. For instance, somebody pulls a gun on you, and I've seen this many times recently in the news, and they start saying, oh, please don't kill me, please, and the guy will kill him. But if you're not afraid when they pull the gun on you, I'm not saying that it's positive you won't be killed, but it will shock the person that's pulling the gun on you because you were not afraid of that sudden fear. Because that's not the normal response. That's not what the Jews in Hollywood taught me should happen. What the Jews taught me in Hollywood should happen is when you pull a gun on me, I'm supposed to cower like a little coward and say, please don't shoot me, and go into this emotional spill out. But when I don't do that, uh-oh. Like I said, it's not 100% foolproof. It's just wisdom. Be not afraid of sudden fear, neither of the desolation of the wicked when it cometh. For Yahweh shall be thy confidence, and shall keep thy foot from being taken. Withhold not good from them to whom it is due, when it is in the power of thine hand to do it. Say not unto thy neighbor, go and come again, and tomorrow I will give, when thou hast it besides thee. Devise not evil against thy neighbor, seeing he dwelleth securely by thee. You see, there again, there's freedom. There's liberty when you know that your neighbor's not going to devise evil against you and vice versa and so on and so on. Strive not with a man without cause if he have done thee no harm. Envy thou not the oppressor and choose none of his ways. For the froward is an abomination to Yahweh, but his secret is with the righteous. The curse of Yahweh is in the house of the wicked, but he blesseth the habitation of the just. I want you to think about that. You see, all these things these blacks are doing in our country today, and they're raping these women, these 90-year-old women, and I'm not exaggerating whatsoever. All the dirty things that they're doing right now, there is a curse upon them. And you notice that. There is a curse from Yahweh in the house of the wicked. What is that curse? You notice how the blacks keep killing each other and killing each other and killing each other. And if one of them wants to get educated, they'll kill him. If one of them wants peace, they'll kill him. There's a curse in the house of the wicked. But he blesseth the habitation of the just. Even though there's a curse in the house of the wicked, even though there's dastardly things going on in our countries all around us, there are his children that are protected, even though they may be in the same areas. How can that be? Well, it just is, because he said it would be. He blesseth the habitation of the just. See, there's a protection for obeying Yahweh's laws. There's a protection in seeking the truth and seeking wisdom and having knowledge to know how to avert a situation. There are blessings for those that will obey. There are blessings for those who will thank the Father for all he has done and will not forget him and just remember him in times of trouble. There is a blessing for those people. Are you one of those people, ladies and gentlemen? Because if you're not, you can change that today. Perhaps you've forgotten just how good the Father has been to you. Perhaps you remember a time in your life where you know he saved you from a brutal beating or whatever it might be. And the chances are you probably remember many times in your life when somebody saved you. You just maybe weren't sure who it was. Well, you can turn that around today. You can say, hey, I'm not just going to remember the Father when times are bad. I'm going to remember him when times are good. Because I see there's a blessing in that. I see that there's a protection in that. I see that there's wisdom in that. We live in a world of evil, and yet you can still be blessed by the Father. You can still be protected by the Father. Why? Because he said so, that's why. Turn it around today. Do as I said to do. Don't just ask him for things in prayer. Pray for other people that you know in your life that need prayer. Ask him for things for other people as well as you ask him for things. Ask him to give you wisdom. Ask him to give you understanding. But sometimes just thank him in prayer. Don't ask him for anything. Just thank him for the things he has done in the past, for the things he is doing at the present, and for the things that he will do in the future. I'll finish the last two verses, and we've made it through three chapters of Proverbs. So Wisdom's Child will continue next week. I certainly have gotten something out of this, and I hope you have too. Verse 34. Surely he scorneth the scorners, but he giveth grace unto the lowly. The wise shall inherit glory, but shame shall be the promotion of fools. I'm going to repeat that several times. I want you to listen to that again till you get it real good. The wise shall inherit glory, but shame shall be the promotion of fools. Would you rather be wise, or would you rather be a fool? The question is a no-brainer, but then again, there are those who wish to be fools. Shame shall be the promotion of fools. It is my advice and my counsel to you, and to myself for that matter, that you should seek wisdom. You should seek the truth. You should love the truth. You should desire the truth. You should be hungry for the truth. The truth is the Word of God. The truth is the Holy Spirit. Yeshua Himself is the Word. The Word is part of Yahweh. From the abundance of the heart speaketh the mouth. From the abundance of Yahweh's heart comes the Word. Yes. Well, we shall continue on. And I want you to consider getting rid of the Talmud vision. You've been listening to Saxon's Creed Radio Show. I'm David James. Until next time, study to show thyself approved.